Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hello and welcome to Sparty Talk, the past the Prozac edition. Satchmo and DB rolling at you. A few days after Michigan State bowed out of the NCAA tournament, losing to Connecticut in what can only be described as a maddening game. DB, how are you feeling? Are you as depressed as I am right now?
Greetings, Spartan Nation. I have to be honest. I have to be very honest. Personally, my depression lasted for probably some 24 hours after, and now I am over it and done, and I think I'm moving on with it, although it certainly was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock. It was one of those things, DB, where you're sitting there and you're watching the events unfold, and you're watching at the game, and you're going, really? This is what you came up with against UConn? I mean, it was just frustrating. Because, first of all, Michigan State didn't come close to playing its best basketball game. Not even close. More importantly, they looked like they lacked energy. And it also looked like they had no answers for what UConn was trying to do. And UConn really wasn't doing anything complicated, DB, to beat Michigan State.
I wouldn't say they were doing anything complicated, but I will say they were doing some things defensively very ingeniously. And I will say, I'm just going to take the high road here and say hats off to Kevin Ollie and the coaching staff on UConn. They out-coached Michigan State, and they had a great game plan in place on how to kind of disrupt our offense at the very least.
All right, hats off to Kevin Ollie for getting UConn to be much more prepared and more ready for this game than Michigan State was. This is a case, you know, Tom Izzo always says, our guys weren't ready to play today. That's on the coaching staff. That's our fault. And you want to know what? In this case, it was his fault. It was his fault and the coaching staff's fault. That's where the blame lies here, because Michigan State wasn't ready for this game. And not only were they not ready, in the second half, there were no adjustments, DB.
All right.
Look, UConn did some interesting things. They came up with heavy ball pressure. And so the UConn guards were harassing the ball left and right and giving Michigan State guards a lot of problems. In addition to that, they were collapsing the paint, DB. And so whenever Adrian Payne went to catch the ball in the post, even before the catch, they had two guys on him. And if they didn't have two guys on him right after the catch, they would double him hard. Michigan State never made Connecticut pay for collapsing the paint and doubling the post. I mean, Payne would take these big dribbles out and launch these cross. It didn't work. Launched cross-court passes. It didn't look like he knew what he wanted to do with the ball. And it didn't look like the Michigan State guards knew how to get him the ball with two people standing there. Well, if there are two people standing next to Payne, then there's someone open somewhere. And Michigan State couldn't seem to figure that out. That goes on the coaches. That doesn't go on the player. That absolutely goes on the coaches. And with UConn hounding Travis Trice whenever he was in the game, Izzo decided, you want to know what? Let's put Travis Trice on the bench. You can't put Trice on the bench. He's one of our most important offensive players. We couldn't get points in this game. You want to know what? Run the offense with Denzel Valentine. Defensive pressure isn't going to bother him. They didn't have anyone that could guard Valentine. Let him initiate the offense. They didn't do that. Right? And the one time Valentine got the ball into the high post, he got the ball stolen from him. You want to know what? That doesn't mean you don't go back to him. That means he got the ball stolen once. Go back to him and run the offense through him. You're going to be running the offense through Valentine next year anyway. You might as well start in this game.
I completely agree. Yeah, I completely agree. And I thought one of the big things in this game, too, was we had every chance really to win the game, and we made a lot of unforced errors in the game, I thought.
Yeah, we made a lot of unforced errors in the game. There were a lot of turnovers, and Michigan State deserves the blame for losing this game, and the players deserve the blame for unforced turnovers. Inbound the ball. I mean, inbounding the ball should not be an adventure. Guarded, Adrian Payne catches all, picks it up, throws it to Keith Appling. Appling either wasn't ready for it or was thinking about something else. Ball sails out of bounds. There wasn't anyone guarding either one of them.
Yeah.
And see, to me, this is interesting because in the first half, I thought Michigan State and Tom Izzo did a really good job of coaching. They were struggling. They figured out how to get Harris going in the first half, ran him around some stagger screen. He hit a couple back-to-back threes, get Michigan State back in the game. Michigan State winds up taking the lead. There was none of that in the second half, DB.
Right.
It wasn't until late in the game where they ran a good offensive set for Harris, and who ended up missing the shot. But you want to know what? He's going to miss a couple of those, but he's going to make a lot more than he misses. You got to keep running the offense for him, and Michigan State didn't do that. It was a maddeningly frustrating game to watch. It wasn't Michigan State's best effort, and I think if you take a look at this season as a totality, DB, I view this season as one of Michigan State's best coaching jobs and one of Michigan State's worst coaching jobs. All at the same time. And it's sort of weird to say something like that. But if you take a look at the injuries that they went through, those are the types of injuries that would have sunk most teams. It didn't sink Michigan State. This team showed heart. They showed character. And not only did they reach the NCAA tournament, they won the Big Ten tournament. They reached the NCAA tournament, and they had a shot to go to the Final Four. That is a remarkable testament to the excellent coaching job done by Michigan State and by Tom Izzo. But here's where he failed, and he failed miserably. This Michigan State defense, DB, has been called for fouls the entire season.
Yep.
Foul after foul after foul. And at some point, and you heard Tom Izzo say, he said, you know, we're like the Michigan State secondary. They're going to adjust to us. We're not going to adjust to that. You want to know what? That didn't work. And that cost this team wins during the regular season. It cost them rotation issues. You ended up with players on the bench. They had, 30 fouls against UConn, and UConn was only called for 11 or 12 fouls?
Yeah.
That hurt. That was a failure in coaching to adjust to the new rules in college basketball. And Izzo and Michigan State, they were kicked off at the refs after every game. You want to know what? Sorry, you got to adjust.
Yeah. You're preaching to the choir here. I can't argue with any of this. I mean, failure to adjust, out-coached when we lost games, out-coached back when we won games. I even thought the Virginia game, we really, really, it wasn't a strong game. I think we just sort of pulled that one out, wouldn't you say?
No, I thought the Michigan State Virginia game was one of the best. I mean, this tournament, I think, has produced some of the best college basketball games we've seen in a long time in the NCAA tournament. The Kentucky-Wichita State game was played at a fantastically high level. The Michigan State-Virginia game was played at a fantastically high level. There have been some really good basketball games in this tournament. And I thought the Michigan State-Virginia game was one of those. Just really, really good college basketball. That was a lot of fun to watch. And I will say this. I think Michigan State, after playing a really physical Virginia team, didn't do a good job of bouncing back. They looked like they had their legs taken out of them. And this is another coaching issue. DB, Tom Izzo shortened up the bench against Virginia. He went primarily with six players. Those players were exhausted when they were playing UConn.
Yeah.
Why did he go primarily with six players? I understand it was a close game. I understand it was a nip and tuck it. You want to know what? You got this far playing Costello, and you got this far playing Alvin Ellis getting minutes, and you got this far playing Kaminsky with a certain number of minutes. And, yeah, I understand it causes matchup problems on one end, but you want to know what? You're causing matchup problems on the other end.
Yeah.
You needed to get your players some rest, and you didn't do it, and it came back and it bit you in the Elite Eight. He shortened the rotation entirely too far.
Do you think Izzo, and I just want to talk about Izzo for a couple minutes here, because I feel like personally more critical of Izzo in any season than I have this year, going back to, you know, aside from his early days. And is it possible that Coach Izzo is just getting a little stubborn in his, as he's advancing in his years here? What's going on?
I don't think he's necessarily getting – I mean, look, I think he was stubborn about a few things. I think he was entirely too stubborn about Keith Appling and wanting the ball in Keith Appling's hands at the end of the game. What he should have realized is that you want to know what – and by the time he came to the conclusion that Appling wasn't going to be the guy to close the game, he's like, well, we don't know what we're going to do during crunch time. You know, no one's really stepped up. Do you want to know what, Izzo? No one needed to step up. You should have just grabbed Gary Harris and said, you're it in crunch time. Go figure it out.
Right. There seemed to be confusion about roles, and I think Adrian Payne even alluded to that at one point when they were finishing the Big Ten season.
Yeah. I think he was stubborn about the defense and not reassessing how they play defense. I think he was stubborn about a go-to guy in clutch time. It should have been Harris the entire way, especially after Appling's injury. And I think, yeah, and I think he was a little stubborn about Keith Appling himself and how many minutes Appling was playing.
Yeah, the Keith Appling thing was just, you know, and I have to say this, Spartan Nation was really, really, really unfairly, I think, trashing Keith Appling at the end of this. And, you know, Keith Appling didn't deserve that. I mean, he did a lot of good things when he was at Michigan State. The guy had some injury issues this year. I think I'd blame more, like you were saying just now, I think I'd blame Izzo more for how he was using Appling and really having you're going to be used where I think you're needed, and you're not always going to be the guy going forward.
Well, you're doing it for the team. To be fair to Appling, and, you know, it's important to be fair to Appling, I mean, none of this is Appling's fault, but the man got hurt, and he had a bad wrist, and he didn't really recover from it. That's not Appling's fault. Appling was a warrior. He was out there playing when he shouldn't have been playing, and he did remarkable things for this program. I mean, Appling is an absolute warrior and a really, really good college basketball player. This isn't Appling's fault. And trashing Appling is the absolute worst thing you can do. And more importantly, Appling, even in his injured state, did play certain aspects of the game better than Travis Trice. Appling was still a better defender. Appling was still better at pushing the pace, DB, even with the injured wrist than Travis Trice was. And when you take a look at pushing the pace, that's really important for the Michigan State offense. That's how they get in and out of offense and score points, especially this year on early offense. Appling was really good at that. So even while there's this instinct to trash Appling, but Appling was still doing things that were important to the team. So I understand Izzo's reluctance to go away from him because you're seeing a guy out there who's been a warrior for you, who's played three great years for you and can't quite give you everything you need, but is still doing a lot of the things better than the other guy that you need to do to win. The problem was Michigan State needed Travis Trice's offense out there all the time, especially at the end of the game. You've got Travis Trice sitting on the bench at the in crunch time. That makes zero sense.
Right.
None. And look, Trice missed some shots he normally makes in the UConn game. That happens. You got to figure those shots are going to go down eventually. And if they don't go down and he keeps missing them, at least you went down with the guy that could shoot it.
Yeah.
It was really weird. And yeah, I think Izzo bears some of the blame on that.
Yeah.
And so did Izzo do, I mean, parts of the season, great job by Izzo. Other parts, not so much. And that's just really frustrating.
Yeah, it's uncharacteristic of Michigan State basketball, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, can you remember, DB, a Michigan State basketball team that had this much trouble inbounding the ball?
No, not at all.
I mean, all season long. All season long, they couldn't get the ball in.
Getting out-rebounded by scrub teams earlier in the year. I mean, these problems existed back in November.
And Matt Costello, you know, some of the stuff that he was doing wrong out there was his fault. I mean, look, he blew defensive assignments. He wasn't perfect. But to a certain degree, you feel like Izzo's got to let him play through that instead of yanking him to the bench every time he does something wrong. Because if he doesn't play through it, you end up with tired players.
Never going to learn. Yeah, never going to learn.
Never going to learn either. That's true, too.
I really got the sense, Satchmo, with this team, and we'll advance us forward to next season here in just a second, but I really got the sense with this team, more than any other, from the way from Izzo's comments at the end, that, and some of the comments by the players and the players' only meeting at the end of the season and everything, I really felt like this was really like a us versus them sort of mentality going on within the walls of the Spartan locker room. I don't think there was as much unity as there has been in the past. I really felt like Izzo was not on the same page with his players all the time this time.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say that. I think that this team actually suffered from not having a really vocal leader.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I think next year's team, Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine, are going to be really vocal leaders.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to make a difference.
Yeah, this is their team now, basically. And if he comes back, and I hope he does, Brandon Dawson and Gary Harris, for that matter, if he comes back.
Well, I think that's a good point to talk about next year a little bit, is looking forward. You've got Appling and Payne graduating. And congratulations to the both of them. They both had great careers as Michigan State Spartans. They both did a lot for the school. So congrats to them. And they're going to they feel bad because they're the only four-year class that never went to a Final Four. And I'm sure they feel terribly about that. But congratulations and good for them. Now you've got your two players who may or may not go to the NBA. You have Gary Harris and Brandon Dawson. You figure Harris is gone.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be a top 12 pick.
Yeah.
Or even a
top
15 pick.
He could have been a first round or early second round last year. So, yeah, you got to figure he's probably gone.
You got to figure he's gone. So then it comes down to Brandon Dawson. And I could see the desire for Dawson to leave and go make some money. But on the other hand, I think Dawson. technical difficulties, DB.
Yes. 2 minutes. That 2 minutes of dead air was brought to you by Charmin.
Well, here's the funny thing is I was talking like I was
21 minutes in the podcast. I'll tweet out when you get to 21:44 to 23:44. Fast forward.
I was talking like I was still on the podcast, and then I realized I wasn't because I thought you were the one that dropped off. And then you know I'm sitting out here going, "What's going on here?" So then I just called back in. Were you just not talking for 2 minutes?
No, I didn't want to say anything, so I didn't know what happened. I thought maybe I was gone from the call, and then I saw that I was still on, so rather than say something stupid, I just sort of let it have dead air.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, I didn't know where we were. So, but you were, I guess we can start to wrap this up in the next few minutes. You were talking about Brandon Dawson, I guess, maybe coming back.
Yeah, well, I think if he did develop the jumper, he needs to come back and develop a jumper. And if he gets a jumper next season, then he becomes a lottery pick. I think he's just that good.
I agree. I mean, I think every kid stands to benefit, but I think him with the injury this year, I think that he really could actually play himself into being. And this might sound crazy, but if he has a monster season next year, which I think he's really capable of, he could be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft the following year.
Yeah, I think so. And so I think it would be smart for Dawson to come back. So if you look at a team that includes Dawson coming back, you have a core trio of Trice, Valentine, and Dawson, which is pretty good. You would hope Costello comes in. And by the way, Spartan Nation, and there are a couple of you who, in particular, who I'm thinking about, who called me up after the Michigan State loss and said, "This is it. This is the end of the Spartan program. You see the people we have coming in. There's no way we can win." I think, what are you talking about?
That's just doom and gloom talk.
Oh, my goodness. Convinced that Izzo can't recruit, and not only can Izzo not recruit anymore, he can't coach. And I'm sitting there, look, we've got three players coming in who look to be pretty good. Are they McDonald's All-Americans? No. Was our Michigan State football team littered with five-star recruits? No. Get off of this stargazing, folks. That's not the way
I mean, sure, there are valid questions next season in terms of size in the middle. Guard play, I think we've got coming back. But, you know, I think that if Brandon Dawson comes back, that makes us, to me, I think that's the difference between a top 25 team and maybe a team that's unranked to start the year. But I think it's too doom and gloom. I mean, I think does Izzo need to improve his recruiting or figure out where he wants to go? Yeah, and I think that could be done simply by maybe adding an assistant or maybe like the football team, a recruiting coordinator person or whatever. But, you know, Izzo hasn't established these relationships with some of these kids that, you know, go to some of these schools and that are one and done.
But you want to know what? When Izzo got Gary Harris, that was just 2 years ago, and you had other schools wondering, why didn't we get Gary Harris? I mean, every school in Indiana was ticked off that they didn't get Gary Harris. And you had people questioning their recruiting capability. It's ridiculous. Just stop.
But it's not a basketball program. I mean, I'm going to make fun of a couple teams here. But it could be a lot worse, Spartan Nation. It could be Maryland. I hate to single out the Terps, but they haven't made the tournament since the Corey F. and Lucius play to where we beat them. If we want to be like that, that's fine. We're not anywhere close to that. We've consistently made the NCAA tournament, and not a lot of schools can say that. And not a lot of schools can say, well, let's put it this way. The Spartans at least aren't having bad losses anymore in the first round, like Duke has two out of the 3 years now to Mercer and Lehigh. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So let's just stop it, people.
How good are those one-and-dones working out right now for Kansas and Duke? Let's see. Are they still playing? Yeah. So, exactly.
Yeah.
Case in point.
So, just
yeah.
By the way, good would this team have been with Jabari Parker on it?
Oh, my gosh. Jabari Parker would have added another dimension that UConn would not have been able to contain.
Yeah. This team would have been fat, fantastic with Jabari Parker. But now you understand why Jabari Parker went to Duke. Because at Duke, Parker was able to get all sorts of playing times and minutes. And he just wouldn't have gotten as many at Michigan State.
I would say Jabari Parker was like the star of the Duke team, basically.
Yeah. And this was Adrian Payne's team. This wasn't going to be Jabari Parker's team.
Yeah.
So it's different. But everyone just needs to stop with the gloom and doom talk. You know who you are. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. All right? And don't call me up in the middle of the night to spout these stupid theories.
Satchel, we have 2 minutes left here. So real quick, any final thoughts on the tournament or the Final Four or other comments besides the Spartans?
Oh, go Wisconsin. All right. From Florida, your fans suck. I want you to lose. Kentucky, I hate Calipari. I want you to lose. All these one-and-dones coming through and all that sort of stuff, I want you to lose. And UConn, you just beat Michigan State. I want you to lose. Go Wisconsin.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to take some Big Ten love here. I mean, I was kind of rooting for Dayton when my brackets got trashed and Michigan State lost. But, you know, then, that happened. So, Wisconsin, nice run. And I'll tell you, Frank Kaminsky, I love that guy. I think Wisconsin will give Kentucky a headache. We'll see if Wisconsin can do the job.
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, that's who I'm rooting for. I think Florida's the best team left, but
I agree. I mean, it's the Florida. Yeah, it's the Gators Invitational. Really, it is to lose. But I think. Cause I'll tell you what, though, and I will say this: even though we're gone, and obviously we wanted to play Florida, but I really think that Shabazz Napier Scotty Wilbekin matchup is really intriguing. Will be a pretty good game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shabazz Napier is a great guard. But I will be rooting for the Badgers. I think that's a good place to end the show on, sir. What do you think?
I think so, too. We'll have to talk about coming up in the coming weeks. We have Spartan baseball we can get to. We'll have Frozen Four, the end of the basketball tournament, spring football, playoff, NHL playoff hockey in the Red Wings. So lots of things ahead, and Mad Men also.
All right. Well, that's it for this edition of Sparty Talk. Thank you for persevering through the dead air. We will try and do better the next time.
We apologize for our turnovers today.
Absolutely. The fight song will play us out. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.